Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, is a massive chronic health issue in Australia. The image that's usually portrayed is of a breathless man coughing his lungs out. But women develop COPD too. And according to a paper last week from the George Institute in Sydney, women with COPD receive scant attention, despite being more likely to die from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease than breast and lung cancer combined. And it also behaves differently in women. The lead author was head of the George Institute's respiratory group, respiratory physician Christine Jenkins, and is in our Sydney studio. Welcome, Christine.
Good afternoon, Norman.
So just tell us what COPD is, because I've kind of glanced over that, given that you know better than me.
Yes, it's not a term people are familiar with, but they probably are familiar with the words chronic bronchitis and emphysema. And they are really the community's understanding of this disease. It's a chronic lung disease where the airways narrow because the lung tissue is destroyed by gases, dusts, particles, noxious inhalations, of which tobacco smoke is the most common in our country, but not in the rest of the world.
Because indoor cooking and that sort of thing, indoor fires can cause the problem.
Most definitely. Biomass fuel exposure, we call it. People who have to burn carbon-rich fuel for their heating and cooking in poorly ventilated houses around the world very commonly develop COPD as well. So this accounts for why women globally actually have the same prevalence of COPD as men, whilst in our country, actually COPD is slightly more common in men, but because women now smoke as much as men do, it's becoming equal in prevalence.
And to what extent is it a problem? I mean, what's the dimension of COPD in Australia?
About 7 to 8% of people have significant COPD, clinically important COPD. If you look at it over the age range, it increases in prevalence from the age of about 55 through to 80 plus. And by the time people are in their 80s, COPD prevalence may be up around 15%. But
that's a lot of people.
It's a large number of people. And in fact, there's an epidemic of COPD around the world. So around 300 million people around the world have COPD. In 1990, it was the sixth leading cause of death from chronic disease. In 2000, it was the fourth. And in 2020, it will be the third. So,
and what's different about it in women?
In women, it is significantly different in a range of ways. The first way, and one very important way for people to know, is that women appear to need a much smaller exposure to a noxious substance, such as smoking, in order to develop COPD. So, for instance,
so there are a bigger risk of it with a smaller dose,
yes,
of toxin.
Typically, we say that if you smoke 20 cigarettes a day for 20 years, you're at risk of COPD. You've had enough exposure. But now we know that women have a much reduced risk exposure ratio, and so they need only to smoke around 5 cigarettes a day for around 15 years.
Five? As few as that?
Indeed. And not only that, but the earlier they start smoking, the more likely they are to develop COPD.
And the symptomatology, if I remember rightly from my medical school days, we used to typify people as pink puffers and blue bloaters. Some people have emphysema, some people have tight lungs. What happens in women?
The fancy terminology for that, Norman, although I must say I still like those clinical phenotypes, is this concept of phenotypically driven disease. So different people have different types of presentation. And women have a more airways disease type, that is cough and sputum, rather than an emphysema type. They may be prone to chest infections or prolonged symptoms after a simple viral infection, for instance. And they're more likely to present with what we call an exacerbation, a flare in their disease, where they require a lot more treatment, often steroids, antibiotics, and often even a hospital admission because they haven't got enough oxygen in their blood and they need supplementary oxygen.
Now, it's often been said with heart disease in women, it's ignored. People don't think that women get heart disease and therefore they're diagnosed late, and women contribute to that by sorting out everything to do with the house before they actually go and see the doctor. Do people under-recognise chronic obstructive pulmonary disease in women?
Most definitely. In fact, it's been traditionally thought that COPD is a men's disease. More men smoke around the world. Men are more represented in clinical trials. So in therapeutic interventions, we know a lot about how men respond and not a lot about how women respond, because often clinical trials have around 80% of the people in the trials are males. So women have tended to be under-recognised and often labelled as having asthma, incorrectly diagnosed, or often they're sent off to the cardiologist.
Because they've got this airways disease, the coughing and wheezing.
Indeed, or they may not have smoked to the extent that people expect you ought to have smoked in order to have this disease, and so it's not top of mind when they see their GP. And therefore, they don't get the right treatment and they don't get the benefits of it.
And then they get more exacerbations and it's like a staircase going down to death.
Correct, because exacerbations contribute very substantially to loss of lung function. So over time, you lose your airway function such that your breathing becomes more difficult. And you also lose the connection between your alveolar spaces, your gas-exchanging membranes, and the blood vessels that wrap around them that help to transport oxygen.
I haven't got a lot of time left. What's known about how you treat women as opposed to men?
Well, we do know that women present earlier, so it's very important to use that as the opportunity to make an accurate diagnosis. So performing a lung function test, a breathing test, is a really important thing. So if you're breathless, please go to your doctor, would be my message, and ask for a breathing test. How you treat this disease is with a range of things that are non-pharmacologic, things like physical activity, and we have really good exercise programs for people with chronic lung disease. But also medications are very effective in opening up the airways and reducing these exacerbation episodes. And preventing infection is the other thing, vaccination against influenza in particular.
Christine, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Norman.
Christine Jenkins of the George Institute for Global Health in Sydney. I'm Norman Swan. This has been The Health Report, and I hope you can join me next week.